ETL Echo and Friends present the Winter Wonderfix Collaboration, a series of festive one-shots and podfics.
Return of the Bastard Black by Eve.
To Miss Hermione Granger, Junior Solicitor, Department of Magical Law Enforcement. On behalf of the Wizengamot, the decisions of your fourth inquiry this month are stated as follows. Motion AO341 for additional funding, denied. Motion AO342 for additional personnel, denied. Request RO19 for classified archives, denied. Request RO32 for sealed court records, denied. Inquiries can be resubmitted after 1 week's time, though I advise the art of employing patience with the expected delays that come with the holiday season. Pleasure as always. Cheers. Lord Regulus Black, Speaker of the Wizengamot.
How many times do I have to tell you to drop it, Hermione? Harry gritted out through a courteous smile as they floated their jackets over to the doorman. Here I thought your bleeding heart was being used to keep your dearest, oldest friend company on New Year's Eve.
Technically, that would be Neville, Hermione muttered.
The murderous side-eye from Harry raised her hands in surrender. Not a joking matter, crystal clear. But I should have known you just used me to come to this gala for scheming. That shouldn't have been a surprise to anyone, let alone Harry. The rivalry with her target of the evening had danced along a fine line of obsession, of which all of her friends were privy to. The true surprise of this scheme was the existence of a House Black Manor. Sirius was only granted access to Grimmauld Place, according to his will. Hermione shimmied the black silk, disheveled from apparition, down her hips, and scanned the foyer. All she needed was to find the man of the hour. And corner him. Maybe threaten him a bit? This was all quite last minute. She hadn't gotten that far. Taking two off a tray floating by, she handed a thin-stemmed glass to a still narrow-eyed Harry.
Really, Harry, you're an aura. I'm concerned that you believed I'd come to this without an agenda.
Despite his annoyance, he was just as aware of the necessity of alcohol to dull the pretentious flock of politicians and socialites that awaited them. The exclusive guest list, gaudy decor, and use of real crystal, cause enough for an eye roll. He accepted the offering without a word. With a pivot towards the wall, they downed the bubbles before Hermione continued.
Besides, he is obstructing everything I do. I just need a moment alone and...
Harry ended her reverie with a shake to her shoulder.
The war is over, Hermione. This is bigger than you and I can take on now.
You and I both know that couldn't be further from the truth.
Plenty of Voldemort's followers were still on the loose. Corruption ran deep within the mortar, holding the delicate bricks of the ministry together. With resources spread so thin, as everyone tried to rebuild, many chose to ignore those who didn't take action during the war, slapping bandages instead of treating the festering infection from the source. Not priority. But she knew better. The Wizengamot blocked every attempt she made at internal investigations, created roadblocks towards implementing any accountability. Most of those she suspected stood mingling within these walls tonight. And Regulus Black? He was the worst fraternizer of all. Or perhaps he hadn't had the change of heart that those who knew the true history of R.A.B. once thought. His re-emergence was a mystery. His return came only a few months following Voldemort's death. Immediately reinstated into the courts, without a bat of an eye, the heir of the noble House Black, notoriously discriminatory, welcomed back with open arms. Guided towards the entry to the grand ballroom by the crowd corralling in behind them, Harry paused their divergence.
Look, I know you're frustrated. I understand better than anyone. He spoke low for only her to hear. But he's here because he made a great sacrifice, a classified, unsurmountable sacrifice. And if the fates rewarded him, maybe he's deserving of trust. She steeled herself,
expression morphed into what she hoped was innocent and accepting, yet her eyes already itched to scan the room. His green eyes begged for her to understand. Maybe he was right, though it's always the bastards that never die, and she has never had much trust in the fates.
Right, Miss Granger, I'll be sure to take a look at your issue first thing after the new year,
Kingsley lied through his teeth, straight to her face. He tugged on the collar of his robes, looking uncomfortable by her presence. Something was wrong. Reading people was never one of her fortes, but she had never seen him quite so skittish, even during the height of the Order's rebellion. Not to mention, he never once before referred to her as Miss Granger. Wesley McNair, senior Whiz and Gamut council member and grade A blood purist, sneered from beside them. His contempt was outward, though not enough to stop him from glancing at her décolletage often enough. She had interrupted them, rather rudely, it was true. However, it was an action she thought would have been welcomed by the minister, who shared her political and personal views. Instead, Kingsley glanced between the two, eyes twitching at the outskirts, making no move to ease the tension. No, something definitely was not right. It prickled at the corner of her senses. If she was not so solely focused, maybe she would have been able to determine exactly the danger she was butting into. But grace had never been her strong suit, either. She glanced towards the podium where she'd spotted Regulus last. Not only was he still there, but he was staring directly at her. Tall and domineering, jaw tense, eyes burning her even from this distance. He must know she'd been inquiring about him all evening. Good, she thought. Let him sweat. This is a pressing matter, Kings, she said, flaunting the nickname out in the open. I was hoping to speak to Regulus about the grounds of the denial tonight, actually. McNair could not help himself then, his nature and nurture competing against all hope of propriety in the face of a Muggleborn. Hermione braced herself for the insults and derogatory comments to fly. Perhaps he'd make a spectacle out of her interruption for all to see? That type of behavior in front of the Minister of Magic may even get him a slap on the wrist if she was lucky. But none of that happened, the damned fates never granting her desires. Alternatively, they left her with a perplexing whiplash of events in lieu of luck. First, McNair performed an eye roll so dramatic it led her to question the integrity of his optic nerves. Second, he handed her a drink, a glass snifter filled with something caramel in cover with floating berries, the aroma hitting her in a pungent wave. Possibly a peace offering? The idea was preposterous. Tannins swirled within the liquid, hypnotic in a way that ignited a longing for her to bring it to her lips, to taste it. The third was a boom so loud it rattled her eardrums and brought her to her knees. The glass lay shattered in a puddle on the marble, trance broken. She crawled over the shards, sharp edges digging into her palms, as she tried to center herself through the mind-numbing ringing in her ears. Hermione only had a moment to use her one available sense to move towards the wall before that, too, was taken from her. The gala plunged into darkness. Against the cool stone on her bare back, she hissed through the pain as she gripped her wand. All she could make out was shadowy figures before the spells began to soar. The shouting came through, muffled, as if cotton was blocking her ears. In the flashes of colored light that peppered the room, she made out Kingsley and McNair wrestling towards their wands, landing blows on one another in their conquest. Panic surged in her veins, mind reeling for the nearest exit. Her joints fought against her endeavor to rise and run, tall heels making it impossible to find her footing. None of it mattered. She was weightless. No, she was being carried. "Do you have a bloody death wish, Miss Granger?" a man's voice snarled against the crook of her neck. A voice she recognized. But it couldn't be. He was on the other side of the room just moments ago. She beat her fists into him, flailing in an attempt to escape his grasp. One punch landed on the corner of his jaw before he trapped her hands against his chest, repositioning her as he evaded spells and bodies like she weighed nothing.
"Stop fighting me if you know what's good for you," he commanded with no room for argument,
a hand clutching the back of her head against his collar to block her vision. Hermione obeyed. The minutes that followed could have been seconds for all she knew. He held her close even as he put her down, a hidden door appearing against the wall, all she could make out before he spun them inside. Their panting breaths filled the silence as torches lit the space that seemed to be an office. The fire roared to life at their entrance, revealing mahogany, book-filled shelves and a matching desk. Her muscles twitched as the door locked shut behind her. She leapt back and raised her wand to the throat of her captor. Outrage and exhaustion and confusion boiling into a potion so volatile that painful hexes began forming on the tip of her tongue. But he was quicker. He circled her wrists, pivoting her against the door and trapping them above her head.
"Really?"
he growled, breathing heavily through clenched teeth.
"What do you want with me?"
She should probably be scared, but her body was betraying her, adrenaline from the fight or flight burning off and leaving behind defeat. He didn't laugh, though a puff of harsh air escaped him. His posture was predatory, chin raising to look down at her as prey or scum she couldn't decipher. From this close, she could see lines of age and stress across his pale skin. Yet he still looked far younger than he should be. Regulus shook his head.
"I could ask you the same thing."
Onyx hair, tousled from the action, fell in front of his eyes. His avoidance of her simple question made her want to pull it. A swipe of blood was smeared beneath his cheekbone. Taller and more muscular than Sirius became post-Azkaban, her appraisal did not go unnoticed under his probing gaze. A dimple appeared on his cheek, an attribute she never knew the stoic black air possessed. It somehow fit his face, looked good even. The thought only served to incense her further.
"I would prefer you tell me the truth. Harry will kill you if you hurt me."
Her voice came out more unsteady than she'd hoped. He softened, relaxing his hold on her. Only then did he seem to notice the lacerations on her palms. Magic ebbed into her as his thumbs traced soft circles onto her pulse points. Healing. Disorienting.
"And I prefer naive little girls not meddling in affairs they have no grasp of."
He was so close. Too close.
"I'm hardly younger than you. A traitor to Voldemort, who now does the bidding of people who groveled at his feet and turned a blind eye to the horrors he caused,"
she spat.
"So you do see these people for who they are, and yet you still came here tonight? Do you have any idea how dangerous that kind of brashness is?"
"This game has no straight path, Miss Granger.
The sooner you realize that bulldozing change into house fortresses that took generations to build will not help you win your political agenda, the better."
"But I did win. I sacrificed my childhood to win, and—"
"So did I."
His facade splintered. Emotion cracked through at his confession, breath rich with cinnamon and smoke tickling her lashes. Static thrummed between them, volatile in the air as if lightning was about to strike. It pooled in her stomach, rose a blush to her cheeks.
"Then enlighten me, Lord Black," she challenged. "Your current actions seem to contradict what little I know about you."
Regulus's lashes fluttered infinitesimally before he stepped back, releasing her. She mourned the loss of his solidity, needing to rest her weight against the door. Words failed to come as she watched him circle his desk and pour two glasses of fire whiskey from a decanter.
"Ask what you truly wish to. I've made it clear I'm no threat."
Hermione closed the distance between them and accepted the whiskey apprehensively.
"Have you?"
You are impossible.
He shook his head, running a hand through his hair.
That, at the very least, is not poisoned.
The disclosure snapped her eyes to meet his. He only raised an eyebrow as he waited for her to piece the puzzle together. Her mind grappled to replay the events of the night. A different drink offered. Swirling and hypnotic.
McNair!
He refilled his glass, raising it in mock cheers and humming a confirmation.
That wasn't actually Kingsley, was it?
She rested her hip against the desk.
So she is perceptive after all,
he teased, matching her to rest only a foot length away.
Quite impossible to organize a raid within the court chambers. Too much red tape. Not so difficult, however, to organize a setup outside, say, at a holiday gala, for instance. Her jaw dropped. At that monumental revelation, she downed the liquor, welcoming the burn. Embarrassment flooded into the swell of conflicting emotions that still lingered. She had been so blind. How had all of this materialized right under her nose? Years of her life fighting tirelessly to find justice, and Regulus Black unleashed it in one night. Harry had been right. She practically threw her glass onto the desk, lurching to clutch Regulus's arm in a panic.
But Harry
is safe, he assured her with a stabilizing hand on her waist. He didn't know. I was able to talk to him and have him escort out some bystanders before all hell broke loose. You were never supposed to be here.
He wouldn't have left without me,
she worried, closer now that she had to crane her neck to look up at him. Regulus wet his lips, fathomless black eyes flicking between hers.
He knows I'd protect you.
The current returned, the heat of him seeping into her marrow through his touch. Not unstable this time, but molten and sinuous, constricting her chest. His hand flexed against her waist. He swallowed, battling with unreadable emotions.
Ask, he whispered.
It was the question that had been torturing her above all else. This complex enigma of a man who she was inexplicably drawn to the moment of his return. She both longed and was terrified of the truth.
How are you alive?
A life debt.
Oh,
he nodded.
I don't know how, but I'm alive because some 13-year-old with a time-turner saved my brother.
Her knees buckled, but he was there to catch her. He sat her on the edge of the mahogany, the slit in her gown allowing him to step between her thighs and keep her close.
Oh?
And she's very eloquent.
He bit back a smile, brushing riotous curls from her face to cup her jaw.
And stubborn, and altruistic, and maddening.
Regulus,
she pleaded, his explanation unlocking something unfathomable between them. His thumb brushed against her lower lip, gaze following the motion.
Yes, Miss Granger.
And for once, she didn't wait for the fates to take action.
She took what she wanted.
Her fingers curled into the soft hair at the base of his neck and pulled. He groaned at the pain, and the sound pooled straight into her core. Her thighs tightened around him as he pressed against her, arousal clear, even through all the fabric that separated them. It was fervent and frantic when he crushed their lips. Every ounce of amassed frustration was poured into him. She tore at his robes as the urge to feel him overwhelmed her thoughts, a fight for dominance, all as his tongue lavished hers. Fire whiskey and cinnamon and sin. Buttons broke and clattered against the floor, the only pause in his touch to remove the cloak and dress shirt completely. Muscles rippled beneath fingertips that raked across his skin and over a littering of scars, reminders of a past that tethered then to now.
You look devastating in this dress, he praised, before he ripped it
clean in two from the slit. He guided her to lay back on the desk, devouring her bare form, save for a pair of thin lace knickers. A shudder ran through him as his hands nearly encircled her waist, his thumbs brushing under the curve of her breasts. The cool air pebbling her nipples battled the heat and desperation so heady within her. A whimper fought to the surface and broke free when he began nipping and sucking at her sensitive flesh. Arching off the desk, she anchored herself around his neck and pressed him to her chest. His hips ground against her, his ministrations sending bolts of shivers up her spine. Need was building in her core with every lick and tease. Overwhelming, yet not enough. Hermione pushed his head lower, seeking more relief from this torture. Regulus responded with a slap to the sensitive skin just next to where she ached the most. The mix of pain followed by immediate pleasure in the form of his mouth stroking her over the lace ceased any admonishment. She'd never experienced anything like it. Breathless, she canted against his face until stomach pulled taut, hips rising, right on the edge. And just as the pleasure was about to overcome her, he pulled away. She could scream at the loss. He leaned over her, movement slow and predatory. Freeing himself from his trousers only to rest his length on her navel, intimidating, weeping from the red tip. She clenched around nothing just at the sight. He tugged at her ear with his teeth, moving the lace aside to slide against her.
"I am not a good man,"
he urged raggedly, as a warning, an escape.
"Yes, you are,"
she said, though her voice sounded far away.
"I won't be gentle."
The coil of want between her legs only pulled tighter. Her pulse leapt. He bit at her neck, and she dug her nails into his shoulders hard enough to break the skin.
"I don't want you to be."
A truth. He buried into her reverently, savoring every inch of her wrapped around him.
"Fuck,"
he bit out as he honored his promise, snapping into her, stealing her breath. The pleasure she just felt returned tenfold, the base of him rubbing deliciously against her clit. He rose to tower above her, pulling her hips to the edge to meet his thrusts. Each stroke sent her spiraling, begging for release from the rapture of his making. His jaw slackened at the sight of him pushing in and out, with each pulse of her tightening around him. He slapped her again, this time directly above where they connected, and it was the final piece she needed. Shockwaves exploded through her, words of praise making their way through the roaring in her ears. Kisses peppered her cheeks before he followed after her, his hips rolling languidly until they rested against hers.
"Wow," she murmured.
"Always so eloquent,"
he replied, and that finally earned him a sharp spank on the arse.
"Was this all part of your plan?"
Hermione wondered, basking in relief she had not known in a long time. Magical fireworks filled the sky above the Black Manor garden.
"Definitely not. Having you was only in my most coveted dreams,"
said Regulus, hugging her under his re-adorned cloak.
"So, what now?"
Shapes and colors lit the darkness, signaling the start of the new year, for only them to enjoy. Guests were cleared, and criminals rounded up after the DMLE finished its sweep of the gala.
"There's more work to be done, I suppose."
Hermione hummed in agreement, melting into his kiss at the corner of her forehead.
"But for now, you should rest, and keep working towards repaying that life debt."
Thank you for listening to Winter Wonderfix. If you'd like to stay up to date for the chapters and stories from ETL Echo, you can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and Spotify at etl.echo.audiobooks. ETL Echo, echoing tales of enemies to lovers.